where it happens, the room where it happens. I wanna be in the room where it happens, the room where it happens.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is Joe Zepecki. I'm in for Kristen Bry. The honeymooner is hopefully somewhere much warmer than it is in our studio today,
yes.
Where we're having some climate control issues. We expect to be joined in just a few minutes here by Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler. Ben's a busy guy. Not surprised he's running a few minutes late. In the last half hour, we talked to Angela Lang with BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing Communities, about Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. Jane, did we convince you? Are you going to go see it?
I will go see it. Absolutely.
It's remarkable. Have you seen the first one?
I did.
There you go.
Really enjoyed it.
It was just a wonderful, powerful movie-going experience. We also talked to Michaela Hughes this morning.
So inspirational.
Young campus organizer. Man, the kids are all right. So there's a lot to feel good about. In the next hour, we're going to be visiting with Maddie McDaniel, who was the communications director for Mandela Barnes' campaign for the U.S. Senate. His name was certainly invoked by Michaela, who talked about the importance of seeing someone who looked like her running statewide. We've seen some more data this week. The top line, of course, is that a very good night for Democrats across the country and in Wisconsin, but we came up just short in the U.S. Senate race. Mandela Barnes lost to Ron Johnson by about 27,000 votes. There's been what I would call some sort of really itchy trigger fingers when it comes to pointing blame and casting aspersion about what happened. One of the areas that has been pointed out is Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee, where Mandela got fewer votes than Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes did when they ran for governor and lieutenant governor 4 years ago. Saw some really interesting data this morning that I want to point out. So the undervote from 4 years ago out of Milwaukee County was 19,000 votes. So 19,000 fewer votes for Barnes than there were 4 years ago. Then when you look at what's happened to the population of Milwaukee County in the last 4 years, you see that that population has dropped 22,000 folks. So I don't think we should be quick to point fingers at Milwaukee. It's not like the Democratic Party and the Souls to the Polls and all of the different organizations that try to inform and educate people about how to participate in our elections. They turned out who was there, right? And so let's just, you know, part of what happens after an election, any election, regardless of how it turns out, is everybody wants to have the hot take. Hey, it happens beforehand too, right? Everybody's got to have the hot take before the election, and that's how you end up with these ridiculous narratives like, it's going to be a red tsunami, everybody head for the hills. And then, wouldn't you know it, young people in particular have something to say about that, and they build a brick wall that stops the red wave in its tracks. Similarly, in the days after an election, everybody wants to be the first to say, well, this is what happened. This is why they lost. They should have done this different. It's really easy to do that. We're going to try to refrain from that. And one of the reasons for doing that is it does take time to sort of go through all of the data, crunch the numbers, and figure out exactly what happened. The best example of this is with exit polling. So throughout the day on election day, you get these early exit poll numbers. And then over time, as votes are counted, those numbers have to be adjusted to accurately reflect the entire population. So we're not going to jump to any big conclusions, but we are going to welcome our next guest, Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler. Ben, thanks for joining us. Know you're a busy guy. Know you've been working your butt off for the last couple of months, and I appreciate you taking some time today. First of all, just how you feeling, man? 3 days out from Election Day. You caught up on sleep?
Not remotely caught up, but I feel like I can exhale for the first time in a long time. I mean, we were on the brink of not being a democracy permanently in our state, and now we're something resembling a democracy, and we have a path to actually becoming one if we can win the state Supreme Court race. So that is just, it's just a monumental feeling. It's heartbreaking not to have the Senate seat, but Mandela came within a point. It's the closest Senate race in a century in our state. I feel like across the board, we overperformed thanks to so many people doing so much. And now you know, people were telling me they were thinking about leaving Wisconsin if Tim Michaels won. People are here. They're ready to fight. And we've got 145 days till the Supreme Court race. So here we go.
Not that we're counting. Yeah, no, nobody needs to leave except I don't know. No, I have not seen any reporting about whether or not Mr. Michaels caught that flight back to Connecticut. But we'll leave that for another day. An incredible night, an incredible week, an incredible testament to the organization that has been built over time. You know, I said over and over again to anybody that would listen, I wish more people had listened, that one of the things we know how to do in Wisconsin is win close races. We had been on a streak, sort of a heater, since the Trump victory in 2016, where Democrats or candidates supported by Democrats had won 10 out of 11 statewide races, some of them very, very close. And wouldn't you know it, pulled out some really important wins. The we know it's a landslide when you win by 3 points. If you're Governor Tony Evers, he tripled his margin from 3 years ago. But we also saw in the Attorney General's race, it looks like we're going to hold on to the Secretary of State race. And that knowing how to win, knowing how to close the gap and make up that margin is really a testament to what you and the team at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has built. So we want to thank you for that. And I want to give you an opportunity to kind of pat yourself on the back, like remind our audience, what role the Democratic Party played in the last, you know, 2 years, really gearing up for this midterm election, and what are you most proud of as you look back on what you were able to accomplish?
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I get to work with an extraordinary team of people at the Democratic Party. Devin Remiker is our executive director. Anna Suri is our coordinated director. We have hundreds of neighborhood teams that are supported by our professional organizers, but those are running based on volunteer leadership all over the state of Wisconsin. And we work with these amazing candidate campaigns and the independent side groups. I mean, Wisconsin has an ecosystem, a progressive ecosystem that knows how to be complementary and work together and when we're legally allowed to, and do the things that it takes. And I just feel so, so lucky to be able to be part of that. A couple of the things I point to. One is that we've been doing a continuous year-round statewide grassroots neighborhood team-based organizing program for the last 6 years. And, you know, normally the party that wins the presidency kind of falls off in energy, but we did not see that here. And the Republicans posted proudly their field organizing numbers after the election. We outdid them by 60%. We did nearly 7 million voter contacts in our state. Republicans did about 4. We had a gigantic number of people, like tens of thousands of people who did volunteer shifts in the course of this election cycle. And those conversations, they make up, as you say, a classic field margin. We would be not where we are now in a couple of statewide races if it wasn't for people who never gave up faith. Literally the Saturday before the election, during the severe thunderstorm warning, people were knocking on doors in ponchos. I talked to the Walworth County Dems chair, Ellen Holly, and was down in her office, and she told me that one of her volunteers was literally blown off of someone's front porch while they were knocking. And she was so proud because she had skinned knees from knocking during a severe weather event. And that kind of dedication is how you pull this off. So that felt really good. We also, for the first time this election cycle, invested in a year-round coalitions program with full-time staff focused on building relationships and partnerships in the Black community, the Latino community, the Hmong and AAPI community, with tribal nations. We had a community organizing program focused just on relational organizing. We had a year-round voter protection operation, which the laws have been changed so many times. They worked with tens of thousands of voters to figure out how to cast their ballots. On election day, I was knocking on doors. In this case, where was that? I was in Stevens Point for Katrina Shanklin. And I knocked on the door of a voter who said, "I can't vote. I have COVID." And I called their voter protection hotline. And they said, "Just tell her that she can call her clerk's office and they will then bring a ballot out to her car and she can do curbside voting." And so I explained that to her, and she was like, her face lit up, and she decided to do it right then and there. And you know, having the level of expertise and kind of the capabilities to provide that level of support, it can flip elections. And then on top of all that, I have to say, you know, Scott Walker changed the election laws in Wisconsin so that state parties can provide unlimited support to candidates. And we were able to build this deep partnership with Governor Evers' campaign in particular, and with Greta Neubauer, the Assembly Dems, Melissa Agard, who helped lead the the Senate Dems this cycle to be able to provide a level of financial support and make the case to national donors that if they cared about democracy in America, they need to care about what happens in Wisconsin. And people really came through, especially in Wisconsin, but also friends of Wisconsin across the country. And it meant that, you know, we didn't have the kind of financial gap where Republicans massively outspend Democrats in our state races, the way that, frankly, the Big and Liz Uline and Diane Hendricks ensured that there would be in the Senate race, and Republicans did in Derek Van Orden's race. In the state races, we actually overmatched the Republicans. We outcommunicated them. The folks leading that work, my jaws on the floor when I look at the governor's team had 2,000 ads, wow. Different ads customized to each county in Wisconsin, the local businesses and local cities, just amazing work. But we weren't outgunned, and people often complain Democrats bring, you know, a knife to a gunfight. In this case, we brought the bazooka, and sometimes that's what you need in the state of Wisconsin.
Amen to that. When we should note, it's worth noting, we didn't just win these statewide races. We protected the governor's veto pact, and that could not be more important. And that's that knocking on doors for the Shanklins of the world. And we had a couple of legislative candidates like Luann Byrd come up just short. But, man, what a race she ran. In the last, 60 seconds we've got here before our first break, Ben. I know it's early. I know the data crunchers haven't really, been through everything just yet. But if you were to say the one place we want to go in the next cycle, in the next election, and expand our vote margin, where can we improve? Where can we do even better than we did this time?
There is a historic change happening in the suburbs of Milwaukee. The biggest vote margin change in the state was Ozaukee County for Mandela Barnes. It went up 8 percentage points compared to 2016. This used to be the reddest county in the state of Wisconsin. Governor Evers got 39% in Waukesha County. There are Democrats and people ready to be Democrats in the suburbs around Milwaukee. And we increased our edge. The net votes coming out of Milwaukee and Madison, they're both people that did such amazing work. We held our own in rural Wisconsin, but the Milwaukee suburbs are on the move, and they could shut Republicans out of the future if they don't stop being so horrifically extreme in our state. So there's good news afoot there.
There's good news. Maybe we should put a progressive radio station in the heart of the WOW counties. Oh, wait, we did. 540 AM WAUK The Shaw, part of the Civic Media Enterprise. If you don't have the Civic Media app yet, download it, friends. We're talking to Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I'm Joe Zepecki, in for Kristen Bryan, as goes Wisconsin. Ben's going to come back on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about that election 145 days from now. How do we stay involved? How do we build on this momentum? Stick with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
We dream of a brand new start.
To As Goes Wisconsin. This is Joe Zepecki. I'm in for the honeymooner, Kristen Bry. We are talking this half hour with Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We're going to give him a second. He's a busy guy. He's working on lunch, and I don't blame him. In fact, I'm a little jealous. I forgot to pack a lunch. Ben, I'm sure you were talking to somebody else and may have missed the first half hour. We had an extraordinary young woman, Michaela Hughes, on, who is part of the team organizing the campus at UW-Madison for this election. It's a family tradition for her family. Her mother's been involved in Souls to the Polls and civic engagement. And we talked to Michaela about how to, you know, what she learned about keeping young people engaged. And man, as we look at the results, both nationally and here in Wisconsin, young people showed up. Gen Z showed up and may have been the reason that we stopped the red wave. The kids kind of built a great brick wall. You mentioned that in just 145 days, Wisconsin is going to go back to the polls. There's going to be a really significant state Supreme Court contest. Let's talk about that race. Let's talk about what we can do to make sure young people stay involved. It's one thing to vote in a presidential election. It's one thing to vote in a Senate election. How in these sort of not as well understood races do we keep the coalition engaged? How are we going to get it done, man?
So the first thing is we don't stop organizing. And that is the thing that Democrats, when we've lost, you can pretty much always look back and say, oops, we took our foot off the gas. we can't do that this time. And, you know, we've got Thanksgiving, we've got Christmas, there's things happening, Valentine's Day, but there's lots of days in between when we need to keep talking to folks. We need to keep communicating. I'm glad that we're talking about this right now and that there's a radio station and a network where this is actually possible. That means, you know, every organization that cares about democracy, this Supreme Court race is almost as important as the governor's race for the future of our state. We saw in 2020, the state Supreme Court yank back voting rights, overturn the governor's decision to postpone the spring election. We saw them strike down all the protections against COVID that the governor had put in place, and they're going to decide on the fate of our 1849 abortion ban. This directly affects everybody's life in exactly the same way as the governor and the supermajority fight and control of Congress do. And it's something that most people have never really thought about. So it's step one is voter education. But step two, all these people, young people across our state, are now in the habit of voting. A lot of people voted in 2018. A ton of people voted in 2020. A whole new wave of people were added to the rolls in 2022. This needs to be a life sport. Pickleball should be, voting should be like pickleball. That's what I'm trying to say. This is something that you can do at any age. It is not too hard on your knees. It is a great joy. So, you know, we got to make civic participation just the most glorious and exciting thing possible. And that comes first and foremost by making sure folks know what's at stake yet again. I think one of the things that often makes young people and people of any age tune out is the sense of futility. You know, we keep voting and we don't get the change that we're fighting for. We almost get it and we come up one or two votes short. Well, this is the election that can change that, because if we win the state Supreme Court majority, let's say the legislative maps get struck down, the state Supreme Court decides what the next maps should look like. They could choose fair maps and make Wisconsin a democracy. And that would mean that when we vote, we actually can win and change the law. That is something that is so urgently needed that would give people such a sense of their own power as voters. So this is like, This is a buy one, get many type situation. We create a whole bunch more democracy with casting a single vote on April 4th, 2023.
That's right. And let's break that down. I mean, let's do some of that civic education. So there are 7 members of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. There has been for quite some time a conservative majority, right? So these are judges who have been supported by the Republican Party, in some cases appointed by former governors like Scott Walker, who have then run and won. Democrats have decided to weigh into the last couple of races and have been able to help get what I would call some law first, non-ideological voices on that court. And so the swing seat is up. We can go from that 4-3 where conservatives are in charge to knocking off one of those conservative jurists and getting someone who is fair-minded, who understands that the rule of law comes first, and you should not have a black robe on and sit on a bench and be an ideologue. So that's why this race is so important. I can't wait to see what you guys do in the next 145 days. You heard it from Ben. You got to organize. We don't take days off, maybe for turkey on Thanksgiving, maybe to hang the holly or celebrate in December, whatever your faith traditions are. But Ben, you have been going 1,000,000 miles an hour. I want to get away from the politics for just the last couple of minutes we have here. What are you looking forward to doing now that you have just a little bit more time? Is it longer walks with that adorable dog? Is it playing with the kids? Is it catching up on reading or movies or shows? What are you going to do with the extra, let's say, hour of every day that you have between now and April?
That's all the above, but I'll say the first big thing tomorrow, my 10-year-old son, Mac, is turning 11 on November 17th, so we are taking him and his friends and his 2 siblings and their friends to Urban Air to play some laser tag, and I'm looking forward to it so much. I'm going to have notifications turned off. I'm going to be running around and in smoky darkness shooting laser beams and trying not to get completely massacred by people one quarter my age.
I love that. That's going to be harder on your knees than voting is. If I could offer one recommendation, I don't know. Are you a Star Wars guy at all?
I am. Yes.
Have you been watching Andor? I'm going to guess no, you've been a little busy.
You are correct. I've not yet seen any of Andor.
You got to move Andor up in the queue. That's got to be the first show that you watch. 10 of the 12 episodes are now available. It is amazing. I'm a huge Rogue One fan, so I came into it pretty biased. But like, it is the best show on television right now. It is not just the best Star Wars thing on television. It is the best thing on television right now. Tony Gilroy did it, man. This thing is incredible. So fire that up. What else is on the list? You got any other shows? What am I arguing against? And am I arguing well?
Well, I feel like I'm emerging from a cave. The idea of turning on a television to do something than other than watch political news is just mind-blowing to me. Wakanda Forever is coming out on Friday. So there's a don't tell my son, but my plan is to, he's unfortunately going to have a doctor's appointment in which he comes with me to go see Wakanda Forever on his birthday.
Love that. We talked about Wakanda Forever with Angela Lang in the last half hour. She and I have seen it. It is a remarkable achievement in film. You will love it. That was Ben Wickler. He's the party chair for the Democrats in Wisconsin. Congratulations to him on a job well done this election cycle. Come on back after the break. We're going to talk about Veterans Day. We're going to talk about heroes. We're going to thank people for their service. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Joe Zupacki in for Kristen Bry. Ben, good luck tomorrow. Take it easy on those knees with the laser tag. We'll talk to you next time.